want to make sure everybody can hear me all right this morning. I mean, is the mic on? It's all good. Need to come up with it a little bit, or you can't hear me?
There we go.
Better? Okay. All right. Well, I thank you for the time of prayer. I think that's just a powerful thing that we need to be doing, and it's a blessing to be in prayer with the church family. And I know Pastor Tim's not here this morning, but I do believe that we need to still be doing that, whether he's here or not, because there is a need in this church family and throughout this world. But as we begin this morning, I titled this message, What Takes Up Your Precious Time? It's a simple question. It's just, what takes up your precious time? So this morning, we're going to focus on time a little bit and what we do with our lives. And this message truly hit me hard because I want you to know this morning that when I go to preach a message, I want you to understand God's working in my heart before I even have to get this message out. So he's been working in my heart with this one, and it's really a reality in my own life of how much I need this message. And then he humbles me with that, and he says, now I want you to preach it to the church. So it is a humbling experience, and it really gets my eyes open to where I need to be with Christ. And again, it's just what takes up your precious time this morning. And as we think about time, we know time is important. Our life functions around time. It's our everyday life. We have to be here on time. We have to go to places. We have to focus and be in order and keep track of things. And that's all through time. We showed up at 10 o'clock this morning, or many have. Many showed up for Sunday school. It's on a specific time. And so everybody can correlate. The life has to function. And God did that through time. He has given us time. So where does time begin? Well, you can go to Genesis 1, verses 4 through 5. And we're just going to read this real quickly. I just want to see the importance of time and why God would even create time. And Genesis 1, 4 through 5 says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so we see this, and I want to go down to verse 14 here. Let me just read verse 14 as well. And it says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. So right there, we get an understanding of why we have days, why we have seasons, why we have years. God's created all of that. Why did he do that? It's so we can function. We can keep track of time and keep track of life. God's did all that. And we see in the very first verse of the Bible, God says, in the beginning. So God created the beginning, and God created the end. He's created everything. Time is created through him. And he's given us that so we can keep track of life. And I do want to read us Revelation 22:13. It's the very last, probably the very last page of your Bible. So we go from the first page to the last page here. And I do just want to give you this verse real quick. And 22 verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So again, God is the beginning and the end. He has created the beginning and the end. There is a purpose for time. There is a purpose on why God created seasons, why God created days, why God created years, why God has given us, God through men has created minutes, seconds. We can keep track of time throughout the day. It is so we can function. So we know there is an importance of time. Time is important. But as I've mentioned this morning in my title, time is also precious. Time is precious. So yes, time is important, but time is also precious. And our life has began. Just as we said, God created the beginning of everything. Everything is here from the beginning. You once had a beginning. It was in the womb. God created you in the womb. He formed you in the womb. That was your beginning. The time clock began on your life. Time began. So there was a beginning for you. Time has started. But there will also be a time when you expire, when your timer is up. That is a reality this morning. We must understand that time is precious. We are not here forever. We will not be on this earth forever. We just had this reality with Pat Ford this morning. I mean, we praise her that she has moved on. She is in eternity, church, but this time on earth was over. But understand, that is a reality in our lives. Time on this earth will come to an end. James 4:14 says, you can turn there if you'd like, but James 4:14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So James here is speaking of this life on earth. It is but for a little time and it vanishes away. When you think of a vapor, I think of putting a pot of water on the stove, and as you watch that pot start to boil, it gets hot, that you see the water turning into vapor. And you see that vapor but for a second and then it's gone. It's gone. It disappears. It vanishes. So you can think of it that way as water in a pot. It just vanishes away when it turns to steam. That is but our life. You see it for a second and it is gone. It is gone. Now this is something we also see in the Old Testament. The same word vapor is actually used in the Old Testament. So let's go to the Old Testament. Psalm 39:4-5. Psalm 39:4-5. And it says, in the Old Testament, this is David speaking, it says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. So we see the word vapor yet again. So here David has just grasped reality. He's grasping onto reality. He knows for a fact that he's going to die one day. And he's saying, God, make me to know my end. Now, why would he say that? Well, it's a humbling thing. He wants to see reality for what it is. He's saying, we have a tendency in life to get into what we call tunnel vision. Maybe a little bit of tunnel vision. We get into a routine of life, and we don't even realize how fast time's passing. We go through day by day, week by week. We go to work, we go home, go to sleep, whatever it may be. We just fall into a routine of things. We get into this tunnel vision of life. And I'm guilty of that. I see my life every day just tunnel vision. And I hardly look at any other things of what matters. And but as David's saying here, Lord, make me to know my end. So he wants to see it, and he wants to know this. Why? Because he says, I want to know how frail I am. He wants to know that his life is going to be gone. It is one day on this earth going to be gone. And he wants to see how frail he is. Why? Because he wants to see how much of a need it is to live for what is important. He wants to know that he has such little time on this earth. What is he going to do with that time? What is he going to do with that time? It's just a frail. It's for a second. That word handbreadth down a little bit further. He says, indeed, you have made me my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. I had to look up what a handbreadth was. A handbreadth is your hand. So you look at your hand, it would be from this finger to this finger. It goes right across. The average person, my hand's a little small, but the average person about 4 inches. So he's saying, my life is but a handbreadth. My days are but a handbreadth. He's saying they're just 4 inches. They're short. It is a short measurement of time. It is very short. So he wants to see that reality. The way I looked at it is David wants a time clock above his head. And as days go by, that time just clicks off. It clicks off more and more. And as David maybe looks into a mirror, he sees that timer. He sees that another day is gone. Another one gone, and another one gone, and another one gone. And David says, I want to see that. I want to see that. He wants to humble himself because he wants to see that there is an importance in this life. And it is but for a little time. And he even says, certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Every man at his best state. So it does not matter your age. It does not matter your age. Your life is still a vapor. And it is a reality. Some may look at me, and I don't want to boast in this, but some may look at me and say, well, he's young. He's healthy. He's happy. He's living life. Everything's good in his life. But what is my life? It is but a vapor. It is fast. Even if I live to old age, it is but a vapor. It will be fast. And I don't know when my life will end. I don't know. We've seen that in James. James says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know if I will have tomorrow. I don't know if I will have the day after that, or the day after, or next week, or whenever. I don't know. I don't know. It is a reality that I do not know when my time will come to an end. And David's saying, even a best man, or even a man in his best state, is but a vapor. It does not matter how long I live, my life is but a vapor. And I think about this. Earth is thousands of years old. It's not millions, it's thousands. We trace them all the way back through the book of the Bible, through Genesis. They go back all the way to Adam. They say life's about, or this earth is maybe about 10,000 years old. But even at that, you get but what, a century? If you live to be 100 years old, you get but a century on this life. But a century on this earth. The average man, I looked it up, the average man lives to be about 74 years old. Some surpass that, some don't. But the average is 74. For a woman, it's 80 years old. So not even a century you have on this earth. Not even a century you will have here. It is fast. Life is but a vapor. Now, I don't say this morning to scare us. I want this to be a reality in our lives. I want this to wake us up out of maybe a tunnel vision that we might be in. God's showing me a little bit that, Isaac, you're walking in life just every single day. You just expect it to be there. You're just getting into this groove, and you need to get out of that groove, and you need to start focusing on what's important. And so I want to say this as a reality check. I want to say this as a reality check. And again, you don't know your time. And, you know, I think about those who come up with a sickness. And they go to the doctor, and they're diagnosed with a deadly cancer, and whatever may be diagnosed with. But the doctor says, you have 2 months to live. In 2 months, you will be dead. Or you have a year to live, and you will be dead. Now, God can by all means change that. But there is a reality of those people that all of a sudden they just get a reality check. It slaps them in the face that I'm going to die. I am going to die. So they have to get that reality. And that's what I'm trying to get us through this morning, is when that reality check comes, I want that to hit us this morning. I want us to get out of our groove of life, and I want us to see what we need to be focusing on. And we need to get off what's wasting our life. And so this morning, I want us to look at two specific things, just two, of what our life, on what we will spend our time on. And I had God just kind of revealed this to me. He says, there's going to be two things you spend your life on. Two things you will waste, or you will spend your time doing. And that is going to be living for the temporary things of this world, or living for what's eternal. Two things, living for what's temporary or living for what's eternal. Just two simple things that we will be living our entire life for. Two things. And this morning, I want us to first look at what's temporary. So you will spend, there's much that this world offers for life. Well, there's so many things that this world throws in our face and says, look, live your life in this, or go to this, spend your time here, spend your time there, do this, do that. You know, I have so many hobbies in this life. I like to hunt, I like to fish, I like to do other things, I like to ride. All these things I like to do. But they're all temporary. They're all temporary, they're all things of this world. And it's a reality check, because I have to understand that I'm going to spend time in those things, but do they really matter? Now, I'm not saying those things are bad. There are good things we can spend our time in. There are good things. Those are not bad things. But I must understand that if those things eat my life away, I'm going to have a wake-up call when I face God, and He's going to say, what did you spend your time on when I gave you the time on the earth? What did you spend it on? I'm going to say, well, God, I was hunting and fishing. God, I was riding. I was doing all these other things. And He said, why didn't you focus on what was eternal? Why didn't you live for me? So they're not all bad things, church, that we may spend our time on. There is a lot of bad things out there in this world that a lot of people are wasting their time in. But understand, there are good things in our life that we can still get too caught up in. And we need to be careful of those things, because the devil can use those things to his advantage. He can get us caught up in those things, and we won't even know it, because they're good things. We like to do them. We love them. We want to be doing them. But the devil's just getting us where we don't even realize it, and we're getting off track of what's eternal. And we're going to look at what's eternal a little later, but I want us to look at these temporary things. But I want us to see that there is a danger. There is a danger no matter what it is. The temporary things of this world are dangerous. It is all dangerous. And the one I looked at was the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. And we'll go to Matthew 19. So if you want to turn to Matthew 19. And we'll look at verses 16 through 22. Let me get there. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. And it says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that God is good, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Now you may say, what does this have to do with time? What does this have to do with time? Well, at a specific time, the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he said, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to have eternal life?" He said, "I'm a good man. I do all these things. I keep your commandments." And in reality, God was trying to show him reality that you don't keep my commandments, because Jesus throws a bunch of the commandments out there. And even this man in his own pride would say, "Well, I have kept those things. I've done those things. But what else do I need to do?" Well, then Jesus smacks him in the face with, "I want you to sell everything you have. I want you to sell everything you have, because what's wrong with that? You're spending way too much time in those things. You want to deal with all of those things, but you don't want what's eternal. You don't want what's eternal. You want what's temporary." And Jesus hits him with that and says, "I want you to go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you can follow me. Follow me." So it's a reality for this rich young ruler that he has to face the fact that, well, I like those things. I want those things of this world. I want those temporary things. Jesus says, don't. Jesus says, "I don't want you in those things. I want you for what's eternal. I want you focusing on what's eternal. I want your time with me. I want you to be here with me, following me." And the rich young ruler says, "No, I can't do that, Jesus. I can't do that. I love those things too much. I have to be there. That's where I want to be." And what did he do? He went off sorrowful because he didn't hear what he wanted to hear. You know, sometimes God's word hits us hard. It's not what we always want to hear, but it is the truth, and we sometimes need to hear that. That was a reality for me when God was saying, "Isaac, look at the rich young ruler. I wanted him to give up everything he had and follow me, and he wouldn't do it. Are you going to do it? Are you going to give up all those things that you spend way too much time on? If I call you to do that, if I don't want you doing those things, are you going to give them up and follow me and live for what's eternal and give your time to what's eternal?" And I had to face that this morning. I still am facing that. Church, it hits me hard to preach this because I am by no means the man who lives this perfectly. By no means am I that guy. So I don't want you to look at that and say, "Boy, these are hard words. He must have it all figured out. I don't have it figured out." But understand, I want us to get out of that tunnel vision, that reality. It needs to hit us that we can spend too much time in what's temporary, too much time on this earth living in what is temporary, what's going to die, and what's going to pass away. We need to focus and spend our time on what's eternal. And I want us to look at that this morning. It's just point number two. We can spend our time in temporary. We can spend our time on what's eternal. So as we look at what's eternal, eternal just means never ending. It's forever. It has no beginning. It has no ending. I want us to look at what's eternal. Well, God Himself. God Himself is eternal. His Word is eternal. Heaven and hell is eternal. These things are all examples of what's eternal. You can look at life and say, this life's not eternal. We will die. It will not last forever. But there are things out there that are eternal. And we can look at those. God Himself is eternal. Let's look at this through Isaiah 40. We'll go to Isaiah 40. And we'll go to verse 8 here. And then I'll slide over to verse 28. But this is just going to show you that God and His Word is eternal. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flowers fades, but the Word of God stands forever. Forever it will stand. So the flowers, the grass, the things of this world, they're going to fade. They're going to die. It's getting ready to do that as we come into fall. The leaves are going to start falling off the trees. Why? Because they're dying. They fall off. They're preparing for winter. The grass fades. It turns brown. It's dying. There's seasons for that. There's times that things will die on this earth. But the Word of God stands forever. Stands forever. So we can trust in this, that this Word of God, the Word that we hold in our hands, will be here forever. We can trust in this. It's going to be here forever. It will not die. It will not die. No matter how much this world wants to try to put it down, this world wants to snuff it out, get rid of it. They can't get rid of it. Why? Because it's eternal. They can't get rid of it. It will be here forever. Jump over to verse 28, Isaiah 40, 28. It says, "Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." God is everlasting. God is eternal. He's been here before the beginning, and He will be here even past the end. So as we had a beginning, and we will have an end. God does not have a beginning. God does not have an end. He's eternal. He's always been there. He always will be there. Always. He's not going anywhere, church. He's always going to be there. He's always going to be there. And He gave us our beginning, and He will give us our end. But He will always be there. And it says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard these things?" You've heard these things. If you're here on church, if you're here at church and you hear the Pastor Tim preach, you know these things. You've heard these things. But have we got that into our minds that God is not going to die? He's eternal. He's always going to be there. So when we die, we can look forward to this, that we will one day have eternal life. We will one day have eternal life, and we can be with God for eternity. He wants us there. He wants us to be with Him. That's why it was so important for Him to send Jesus to die for us. He cared about what was eternal. He cared about what was eternal. And we see this. We see that there will be a life after this. This life is temporary. But there will be a life after this that is eternal. And you will spend that in one or two places, heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. You will be with God for eternity in heaven, or you will be in hell separate from Him for all eternity. God will not be there. You will be separate from Him. There are two places that you will spend eternity. And go to Matthew 25, 46. I do want to look at that. Go to Matthew 25, 46. Just one verse here. And it says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous in eternal life." So God's just saying there, or Jesus actually is preaching this. Jesus is preaching this, and He's showing people that there's going to be two places that they will go. Two places that people will go. There will be everlasting punishment, or there will be eternal life. What's the difference there? Again, heaven or hell. There's two places that people will go. You have to be called by God. You have to be saved through the blood of Jesus to go to eternal life. If you do not have Jesus this morning, you will go to eternal, everlasting punishment in hell. It is a reality. There is two places you can go. So we know that God Himself is eternal. God Himself, God's Word is eternal. Everything the Word says is eternal. It will be here forever. And we also know that there is a life after this that is eternal. There is a life after this that is eternal, and it is spent in one or two places. It is in everlasting punishment or eternal life with God. And it's a wonderful thing that we can trust in that and look at those. But I also want us to understand, though, that there are things in this life that we have to do that is eternal. We need to live our life for what's eternal. When we say, well, what are those things? We now know what's eternal. We now know that there's temporary things that we can live for. That's just everything this world has to offer. But what are those things that are eternal? What can we do that's technically living for eternity? Well, this right here is eternal, church. Gathering as the church, as fellow believers, worshiping God, praising God together, gathering as one another, as we are called as one, as the church. That is what is eternal. Gathering together, going to church, worshiping God, praising God, hearing the preaching of the Word. That is all eternal. That is all eternal. Praying is eternal. Praying. We need to be in prayer. Why? Because it's eternal. Eternity matters. Do we not want to pray what's on this earth? Do we not want to pray for the things of this earth? Do we not want our country to give their eyes back to God, lift up their lives back to God and say, repent, turn from your sins? Do we not want to be praying for those things? Do we not want to be praying for what's eternal? For the souls that are going to be going to everlasting punishment? Or do we want them to be in eternity with God? I mean, there's eternal things that we need to be doing. We need to be praying. We need to be gathering as the church. We need to be lifting ourselves up, saying, building ourselves up after we face sin, after we face a week of being out in this world. We need to gather together as the church, worship and praise God, hear the Word of God preached. Why? Because it can build us up. And then what do? We go back out into this world and we live for what's eternal. We live for what's eternal. And there's another one. We can spend time with God as we pray. But we can also just sit there and He says, be still, be still and know that I am God. Why would He say that? Because we need to spend time with Him. We need to just be still and say, God, just overwhelm me with Your presence. Just be with me. I just want to listen, God. I just want to be still. I just want You to overwhelm me with who You are. I want to spend time with God Almighty. That is what is eternal. That is what's eternal. So we look at all these things out in this world that we want to spend time on, but God's saying, look at these things. Go to church. Be with your church family. Build each other up. Build each other up. Hear the preaching of the Word. Preach the Word that is everlasting, that is eternal. Hear these words. Build each other up. Love one another. And then go out into this world and live for what is eternal. Pray for those out in this world. Pray for those who are going to die and go to hell. Pray for this nation that so badly needs to be prayed for. Pray. Spend time with the believers. And also, we have a calling to go out and preach the gospel. It does not matter who you are. Everyone has something they need to be doing. They have a job on this earth. God has set them forth as a child of God. You have a job. That job is eternal. That job is going out and preaching the gospel to all the nations, baptizing the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and preach the gospel. We all have that calling. That is the work that is eternal, church. It is eternal. Because those people need that. They are living in this world of what's temporary. They are going to die, and they are going to go to hell. Their life is so short. It is but a vapor. We are here for a purpose, church. We are here for a short amount of time. That time is to be living for what's eternal. That time is to go out to those people and preach the gospel to them. And tell them, you only have so much time. Get out of your tunnel vision. Get out of this world. Get out of these things. Live for what's eternal. There is Jesus. He's died for you. He wants you to have everlasting life with Him. But if you do not, you will have everlasting life in hell. It is a reality, church. We must understand these things. We have to see the importance of why we need to be living for what's eternal. Why we need to give our time to these things. Again, there is nothing wrong with spending time on hunting, fishing, doing all these things. I don't know what your hobbies are. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if they pull me away from what's eternal, if I give too much time to those things, I'm sinning against God. I'm turning against God, and I'm saying, I'm going to put myself first and what I want to do first, and I'm not going to live for what's eternal. I don't need to be going out and preaching. I don't need to be going out and telling others. I don't need to be praying for them. I don't need to be gathering in church. You know, God says, give us one day. Just give me one day. Isn't that kind of sad? I mean, in my heart, I think about that. It's kind of sad that we give God one day on this. One day of the week we give Him. That's all He asked for, one day. And yet even then, people can't even do that. People can't even do that. You know, it's a sad reality of what's going on in this world and with churches. You know, I'm guilty of this, church. I will admit this just from trying to show you that I'm not perfect. I sit in that back pew sometimes, and Pastor Tim's preaching a powerful message filled with the Holy Spirit, trying to get it through our heads and into our hearts that we need God and we need these things of what's eternal. Preaching a powerful message. Those bells ring. 12 o'clock noon hits. What's my mind start thinking? Time to go. Time to get out of here. I'm hungry. got places to be, I got things to do. I start putting Pastor Tim on a timer. I start putting God on a timer. I'm saying, God, I ain't got time for this. I ain't got time for what's eternal. I got things to do. I got temporary things in this world that I need to get done. God's saying, are you going to just do what you want to do with your life? Just put me at a convenience. You know, am I just a convenience to you? Or you pick me up when you're right, when you want me. But whenever you have things going on, you just put me down, walk away from me, and you say, I'm going to just pick those things up of this world, and I'm going to do those things. You know, I mean, it's, and church, again, this can be with work. This can be with anything. You know, this today's age, it's hard to make a living. I understand that. Things are going up. Inflation's going up. Everything's hard to do. It's hard to get live a life in this. People will say, well, I got to work. I got things to do. I have to do these things. Do you not trust in God? Do you not trust in God that He's going to take care of you? You know, if you put what's eternal first, I believe God's going to take care of these things on this earth that you have to do. He knows you have to go to work if you go to work. He knows you have to go to school. He knows all these things. He's put you here on this earth. He knows what you have to do. He knows your heart. You know, that's a scary thing. 1 Samuel 16:7 says He knows your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God knows the heart. You know, that terrifies me. Because I could say, God, I could sit back in that pew and I could say, God, I'm going to put off. I let it go. I just let the devil eat me up with these things. I say, well, timer hits. I got to go. But God knows my heart. He knows when I get astray. He knows when I give my life to what's temporary. He knows it. You can't hide it from God. He knows it. So He knows your heart. If you're going to work or if you're going to school and you're busy with all these things, and you say, God, I don't have time for those. I can't make it to church. I can't do all these things. I can't really pray as I ought to pray. I can't read the Word of God every night. I can't do these things. I just have things to do. You know, God knows your heart. He knows whether you love Him or not. We're going to look at that a little bit. And we're going to look at that a little further down. But God knows your heart. It's a terrifying thing because I know how many times I've let my life go astray. I let my life get on what's temporary. And God says, I see it. I see it. You repent. You turn back to me. You get what's on it. You get to what's important, Isaac. You get your time back on what you need to be doing. And so understand, church, we can go to church. We can gather as a church. That's eternal. We can pray. That's eternal. We can be in the Word of God, reading the Scripture. That's eternal. We can go out and preach the gospel. That's eternal. These are all works that we can be doing. That's eternal. God commands us to do that in the Scripture. God commands us to do all these things. Why? Because it's what's eternal. It's what matters. That's why God puts it in the Scripture. It's forever. It's everlasting. So understand that. But I want us to look at two examples on who did that. I mean, who was living it up? Who was living up for what's eternal? Who was giving all their time to what's eternal? Well, many of you already thought, Jesus. Jesus gave His time for what was eternal. Jesus cared about what was eternal. Jesus was preaching to people. He came to this earth, He preached. He came down, He showed people, this is what we need. We need the gospel, you need me. I will die, and without me you will go to hell. Jesus came preaching and teaching, and He helped the disciples to understand that there is more than this life. He called them to go out and do a work. Jesus was even getting to the point where He was getting tired. He was getting wore out. I mean, then people were eating Him up. They wanted Him to heal Him. People wanted healing. People wanted all these things. And Jesus was getting tired. He would get away. But where was He going? He was going to pray. He was going to be with God. He wasn't just saying, I got to go take a break and I'm going to go do out what I want to do. I want to go live and, you know, I just maybe want to go out and do some hunting. You know what? I'm a carpenter. Maybe I'll go out and build a house or something. I want to get away from just what's eternal. I need to go do something else. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus went and prayed with God. When He was tired, He went and prayed. Why? Because He wanted to be with God. He wanted God's will to be done. Jesus came to fulfill God's will. You know, if Jesus came and just said, I kind of enjoy it here. I'm God, I can do what I want. I'm just going to sit on back and just maybe enjoy things a little bit. I'm not going to give to what's eternal because I really just I'm God, I can do what I want, because Jesus was God. Him and the Father are one. He can do as he pleased. He can. But what did he do, church? He went to the cross, and he did the will of the Father. He did what was eternal. He could have easily came on this earth and lived it up, lived what he wanted to do and do the things that he wanted. But he didn't. He said, I'm here for a purpose. I will be here for a short amount of time. And in that time, I'm going to tell others what the truth is. I'm going to preach, I'm going to teach, and they're going to hate me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to pray to God, I'm going to be with him. He gives us the Lord's Prayer, he shows us how to pray, he teaches the disciples how to pray. He built them up, he was showing them, I'm going to be your teacher. If you follow me, I will be your master, I will show you what you need to do with this life. He says, then I will die. I will die. But what is he? He's eternal. He's eternal, and we see that on the third day. He died for our sins, church. We have hope in him. If he didn't give to what's eternal, we wouldn't have hope. We wouldn't be able to put our life on Jesus if he didn't die for us. If he didn't come down and live for the will of God and die for us, we wouldn't be able to put our hope in him. We wouldn't be able to put our faith and trust in him. We wouldn't be able to call on him as our Lord and Savior. But he did something. He died for our sins. He died for you and me, and he said, there is something after this life. There is something after me. God cares about what's eternal. Why? Because he sent his son to die for us. He wants you to be in eternity in heaven. He don't want you to go to hell. If he did, he wouldn't have never gave us Jesus. So understand the love that is there for us, church. God loves us. We see that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Jesus cared about what was eternal. Jesus came and had so much time. And in that time, he gave his life to God. He said, I'm going to do what's eternal. I'm going to do this. Why? Because I love you. I want you all to trust in me and call on me as your Lord and Savior. And I will rise again on that third day, and I will defeat death. I will defeat death. These things that are temporary, get your eyes off of it. Focus on me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Follow me. And then secondly, we have another example on who will give their life to what's eternal. The early church. The early church was on fire. They had a passion to live for what was eternal. You know, they turned the world upside down. They gave their life to what was eternal to the point. They gave it up to the point that they even gave their possessions away. Many gave their possessions up. They didn't want no part of what was temporary. Now, I'm not calling you this morning to give up everything. I'm not calling you that. Let God do that work in you. I'm not up here to tell you what to do. That's what God's Word's supposed to do. I'm up here to reveal the truth to you. So understand, they gave up their life for what was eternal. Many died for what was eternal. But they were ate up with it. They had a fire. They had a passion. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they flipped this world upside down. You know, I believe that can still happen today. Why can't that happen today? Why can't that happen at this time right now? You say, well, time's changed. Has it? Can you find in the Bible where God says the church nowadays just needs to ease up a little bit? Just needs to ease up and get off of what's eternal and just, you know, enjoy your life. Sit back a little bit. The early church did their work. You guys don't need to. Can you find that in the Bible? I can't. No, there is still a time on this life that we need to be on fire for the Word of God. We need to be out preaching. We need to be out doing what's eternal. That's what the early church did. That's what they did. Why? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they wanted nothing more. They wanted nothing more but to live for God. They wanted nothing more to live for what was eternal. And they gave their life for that. But we have the Word of God in our hands today. Why? Because they lived what was eternal. And they gave up their possessions. They gave up their time. They gathered as the church. They gathered in their homes every chance they could get. They prayed. They lived the word. They lived what was true. They opened their Bibles. They preached the Word of God. They went out amongst this world preaching what was eternal. The world didn't want to hear it, but they did it anyway. We need to do it anyway. We need to be on fire. We need to be doing what's eternal. And I want to sum this up. I want to sum this up with one problem. Why do we not give our lives to what's eternal? Why do we give our lives to what's temporary? We can sum this all up into one word. Love. Love. One word, church. Love. What do you love more? What do you love more? Do you love God and what's eternal? Or do you love the world and what's temporary? I mean, it's a reality, church. Love sums up this whole entire issue. See, this world, so many churches gather today, they aren't out there to seek God. They aren't out there to gather what God says. They aren't out there to preach the true gospel. They just gather to be convenient. They just say, we're just going to do what we want to do. We're going to preach the gospel that we want to hear. We don't really care about those other things that the gospel preaches. We love what we want. We heap up teachers that we want because we want to love what the things that we want to love. We don't want to give up what's temporary. We don't want to truly surrender our lives to God. We don't really care what God says fully. We just want to take bits and pieces of it. So much of the world wants to do that, church. And even true professing churches are sometimes too caught up in what's temporary. And their love for God starts to dwindle. Church, we are in a time that the Word of God and the love for God is dwindling. Why? Because the love for God and what's eternal is falling. Even in the professing church, we're not doing what we're called to do. We kind of put ourselves first and what's temporary. We put ourselves in there. We say, God, we're going to lift ourselves up. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I will use you when you're convenient. You know, once I'm not busy with my own things, once I'm not too caught up in doing what I want to do, then I'll give my time to you. Then I'll love you. Then I'll do what's eternal. But my stuff first. My stuff first. My time. You put me on, you know, this world so badly wants to live up. They say, go out, live it up. You're young. Go out, get drunk, go party, go have sex, do all these things. Why? Because they have no idea what they're facing. They have no idea. And you know, the church, the professing church, will sit back and we look at a nation that's so fallen. And we say, why in the world has this nation fell so much? Well, we like to blame it on the nation. We like to blame it on the people out there. Nobody wants to turn to God. Are we out preaching the gospel? Are we out doing what the early church did? Are we out to flip this world upside down? Do we love God? Do we want God to be professed amongst this nation as it once was? We were a blessed nation. You know, we like to blame this world and say, well, it's just, you know, this world's just so messed up. No, what it is, the professing church doesn't want to get our butts out there and do what's eternal. We're too caught up in what's temporary. Now, church, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to put you all down. I'm just saying this is a reality. This is what God's been putting in my own heart. You know, there's so much I want to give my time to, but I don't give it up. I don't give it up for what's eternal. And the love of God dwindles. I want to give you two verses on this. I want to give you two. Just 1 John 2, verse 5. 1 John 2, verse 5. It says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And I love that last part. By this we know that we are in him. You want to see someone who's in Christ? You want to see someone who's been saved? It's someone who has a fire and a passion and a love for God. It's someone who has a love for what's eternal. They're out doing the work. They're out preaching. They're out telling others. They're in the Word of God, studying it, living it up. Why? Because they want more and more and more of God. They want more of it because it's eating them up. It's what they love. They have a passion for it. They want to be with the church. They want to be gathered on a Sunday night, and on a Wednesday. They want to be gathering. Why? Because they love it. They love it. They want to be here. They want to be here. You know, Wednesday night's a time of prayer. It's a time of prayer. It's a time to go to war for this nation, for the people who are lost. It's a time to lift up those who are sick and who need healing. It's a specific amount of time. It's 1 hour. 1 hour that we go to war. as a church, gathered as one. Yet so many don't come. So many won't be there. And I know it's a Wednesday night. I know it's a weekday. I know how hard that can be. I know it. I know a Sunday night. I know you have things going on. You have a weekend. I know how you can get caught up in a week and say, I have just 2 days. I have 2 days to myself that I have to get things done. I understand those things. But do you think God's not going to take care of you? Do you think God's going to help you? He will. If you love God and put Him first, everything else will fall into place. I can promise you that. I want to give you another scripture, Matthew 22, 37. Go back to Matthew here. Matthew 22, verse 37. And it says, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." So what are we called to do, church? To love God with every little bit of everything we have. Every bit of your strength, every bit of your mind, every bit of your soul, every bit of your heart. Love the Lord your God with everything you have. Everything. It is the first and greatest commandment. Now, you will not do this to perfection. You can't do it to perfection. Understand that. But let me tell you, God knows the heart. If you have a true desire to live for Him and love Him, He sees that. Yes, you will get caught up in the temporary. Yes, you will fall into your sin. Yes, you will mess up. But God knows the heart. He knows those who love Him. He knows that they're going to repent and turn to Him and ask for forgiveness. And what is God going to do? He's going to forgive them. He's going to build them back up and say, "Go. I'm here. Get your life on what's eternal. Give your time back to me, and I'm going to be here with you always." Jesus says, "I'm with you always." Every moment, every second, Jesus is with us. God, we have a wonderful God, do we not? We have a wonderful scripture, wonderful things, and we have a wonderful calling. In such a short amount of time, such a precious time, we have a wonderful calling. And that calling is to lift God up and give Him all the glory through everything we do. Everything. Even at work, even at school, even all these places that we have to be. I think of my grandpa who has to go to the doctors. He can't really put that off. But God has opened a ministry through that. I mean, my grandpa has had a ministry through the time he has to be at the doctor's office. Trust me, that's a lot of time and it wears on him. But he goes there and he has a ministry. My grandpa's just one example, but I'm sure that it can happen in all of our lives. If we just give to what's eternal and give our love and every bit of everything we have to God, He's going to bust the doors wide open. And it's going to be a wonderful, miraculous work. I don't say these things to put you down. I say these things that you would turn your eyes and say, "Wow, look at what God can do. Look at what God can do if we would just turn and live for Him. He can do miraculous things. He done it through the early church. He done it through Jesus. He can do it through us. Times haven't changed in that. We're in perilous times. What a better time to be in that we can give God all the glory and live for Him. What a better time, church." So as we close this morning, I want you to understand that Jesus did die for you. There was a time He was here. He died for you and He rose again. He died for what was eternal. He died for your soul. He wants you to be in eternity with Him. With Him. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Now is the day of salvation." 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Now is the day of salvation." Why today? Why today is the day of salvation? Because you don't know if you have tomorrow. Just as James 4:14 says, you don't know what tomorrow brings. Time is precious. Time is precious. You have so much time. So give your life to Christ if you need to give your life to Him. He's here. He's all for the taking. "He who seeks me will find me if he seeks me with all his heart." That's Jeremiah 29:13. And understand, if you are His, if you are a child of God and you say, "Boy, I've just gotten off track a little bit. I have gotten off track. God, I need you. I haven't been giving my time to you. I have been living in what's temporary. Forgive me, God." Now's the time, right now, church, to repent of that. To repent of those things. And to say, "God, I want all of you. I want every bit of you. I want to do what's eternal. I want to do a mighty work for your name and for your glory. I want to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. Now's the time to repent, church. Grandma, if you'd want to come down and lead us in a hymnal. This altar's open. If you need to talk to someone, talk to them, please. I'm here. If you want to wait, Pastor Tim will be back. Again, continue to lift them up as they are traveling. But now's the time, church, to just get right with the Lord if you need to get right with Him. About 200. Hymn number 200. If you'd please stand, we'll sing the hymn. And if you need to come, come and give your life.